Amen. Good morning. Sanbonani. Ninjani. Khoyomora. It is lekker om hier te wees. It is great to be with you at your International Sunday. And wow, you guys are beautiful. Folk from all over, such a cosmopolitan group. This is amazing. It's just incredible to be here. Your worship is amazing. Incredible. And I just want to uplift all of you. You are warm. You are friendly. You are so good looking and beautiful. I do want to thank the eldership and the lead and those that lead in the church. And thank you so much for inviting me here. It really is an honor. And I just really want to uplift you and say thanks so much. Stephen Carroll, oh, you guys are just amazing friends. And it's just awesome to see you again. We love, we respect you. And I'm so glad that you are with such a warm, loving family of God that's looking after you. Thank you. Well, I bring you greetings from South Africa. From Durban. And let me first introduce you to my family. There we go. That's my wonderful wife there. Her name's Lisa. And Lindsay and Shelley are on the outside. Lindsay is in her final year of teaching. She loves to teach children. And so she studied from grade 1 to grade 3. And she lives in Johannesburg, so we miss her a lot. And Shelley over here is just started first year university, and she's studying occupational therapy. And Lisa sends her love. She wishes she could be here, but these short trips, you know, are tough. It's almost bedtime for me. But God has been gracious. I prayed last night, God, please can I sleep in? I want to just sleep till 4:15 in the morning. And God gave me till 4:30 this morning. So I am wide awake and well rested. But I do bring you greetings from Southern Africa. I love living in Southern Africa. My heart is there. I love the folk that live there. In Southern Africa, there are about 186 million souls. We represent 12 countries, some of the poorest countries in the world. And folk that are hungry for God, that want to know God, that want their lives changed. It's a part of the continent that has many languages, many tribes. Germany, French, Portuguese, many African tribes, many languages. At times, it is difficult to get to places. At the beginning of the year, we got some students down from Zambia, right at the top over there. We got them down to Durban, which is over there. It took them 30 hours on a bus to get down. And they climbed off that bus, and we gave them a beach experience, and we fed them the Word of God, and we fed them a lot of food, and we got excited, and we sent them back. And you know, they're full of zeal and full of excitement. Lisa and I do a lot of work in Zambia, in Zimbabwe, in Malawi, and Durban, and Port Elizabeth is somewhere over here. So thank you for your prayers. It's wonderful to be able to just be here and share our lives with each other and really learn from one another. This morning, I want to be speaking about God's amazing love. Because I really believe that if we understand God's incredible love for us, we will be energized by the Holy Spirit to do amazing things for God. At this time, let's pray. Holy Father, this morning, please help myself and each one of us to grasp and understand your love that you have for us. Do something in our hearts. Make that connection. Help us to connect with you. Perform a miracle within us so that we can be men and women that are doing and pleasing and doing great things for you and looking through the lenses that you want us to look through. Please, God, lead and guide this time so that you can be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Speaking about love, this is one of my favorite quotes. As you can see, I've got my Madiba shirt on. And what a hero he is to each one of us. And these are the words that he shared. No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. And if we can put that in our hearts, and if we can live that, and if we can understand how to love, but this morning I want us to understand how much God loves us, because He loved first. And if we get that right, we will learn how to love. A couple of weeks ago, I was involved in a wedding, and I was standing up front, and the groom was next to me, and it's always so exciting to watch the groom's face when his bride's walking down the aisle. I just sort of step aside and I look at his face, and this bride had taken her favorite backtrack and spoken words of love through the music. So as she walked down the aisle, he was just choked up. He was going, you know, tears were just flowing, and his bride was walking down, and everyone was like tapping their eyes and getting the tears. It was beautiful, that connection as she was walking down and he was ready to embrace her. It was love. It was wonderful. The book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, 2, and 3, speaks about who we are in Christ. And when you understand who you are in Christ, chapter 4 speaks about this is what we need to do in Christ. We need to have great marriages and raise our children and do all of these things. And, you know, that's great. And then it closes off, be careful of Satan and put on the armor. And when we understand who we are in Christ, that we're forgiven, that we've got hope, that we're adopted, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, that we are holy and blameless. And when we understand these things of who we are in Christ, and we understand the identity that we have. This is my passport. I need this to get home. And it's got a very serious picture of me because you're not allowed to smile in a passport. It's got my identity number here. 6605. 03-501-7086. That's who I am. I'm a number. That's my identity in my country. And this shows me who I am. And then it's got a very important visa here so that I can get into the States. And they even gave me a 10-year visa so I can come and go into the States, which is fantastic. But this is who we are. And as we look at God's word, God tells us that if you are in Christ, this is who you are. And then, Paul, at the end of chapter 3, prays this amazing prayer. After uplifting the church and saying, this is who you are in Christ, and this will be kind of focused on this morning, a couple of verses. These verses have changed my life recently. And Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And then he starts to pray and he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And this passage is all about the Holy Spirit and the power he gives us. And when you and I think about power, we think about the power in this world. We think about maybe success. We think about position. We think generally about me, me, me. And even in a religious world, we think about, well, the power of miracles, the power of changed lives, the power of building a church, the power of changed characters, and all of these things are good. But here Paul is speaking about the inner power that gives us strength. This amazing inner power that gives us strength. And we have to ask the question, why? So that we can understand the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge. Why? So that you and I can be filled to the fullness of God. And everything that he's praying about you is channeled to one goal, and that one goal is to be filled with the fullness of God. It's a total progression. And he says, so that I want to strengthen you, so that you can be rooted, so that you can understand this concept of my amazing love for you, so that you can be full to the fullness of God. There is such depth here. And the opposite of depth is being empty or shallow. Coming from a farming background, the only time that I could sleep in was when it would rain. So, man, it's raining. Oh, well, we can't work in the rain. And there's sort of two types of rain. You get that soft, misty, gentle rain that when you go and measure it in the rain meter, there's not much rain there. Or you go and look under a tree and it's still dry. And that type of rain just keeps the grass green, but it's not really getting down to the roots. It's only that deep rain that really gets down to the roots. And here Paul is speaking about that you'll be strengthened, that you will be, he has a farming concept, that you'll be rooted in love so that you can grow and become a mature disciple. For some of us here this morning, there may be shallowness in our faith. And what produces shallowness in our faith is when we're not focused on the root, but you're focused on the fruit. And we all look at, what a beautiful plant. Look at the flowers. Look at the fruit. This is amazing. We don't say, well, the root structure must be incredible to produce this. Atlanta, I've never seen so many trees before, and they're large. You're driving and your car seems so small. These trees just, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. What a beautiful place. But imagine the root structure around you. Incredible. Millions and trillions of roots. Because the root produces the fruit. And if we can get that right, we'll understand what the fullness of God is all about. Let me just share with you my story. I farmed for a few years with my father. And I'm the only son, and he owned 2 sugarcane farms. And I led the church at the same time, and he used to watch my life and think that I was a bit too committed to God. And the farm was really doing well, and the church was really growing. And I came to this crossroads in my life that I had to choose between the two. And Lisa and I prayed and we fasted. And I went up to the highest point of the farm and I looked down on the farm and I had this watershed prayer. Dear God, and I cried. I said, God, I'm willing to give this all up. But I ask you one thing in return. Just one thing in return. Please soften my mom and dad's hearts. And help them sometime in the years ahead to follow you the way that it says in God's word. And I came off that mountaintop and I said, Dad, I'm moving up to Johannesburg for training. Oh, he was angry. He was saddened. He felt I'd really let him down. And he said, Son, that's it. Disinheritance. It's over. I'm not helping you. You go. I said, Dad, I love you. I'm not asking for anything from you. I love you, but I need to do this. And I moved up to Johannesburg and was involved in the ministry there for many, many years. Led a few of the regions around. And it was always my dream to go back home. And we went back home and was so incredible because my dad was getting older. And I was like, God, please help him to sell these farms. Help him to move into the city. And God changed everything around. The farms went. And he moved into the city and he came to church the one Sunday. And he had been watching my life. And after church, he said, Son, I'm coming to your house for lunch and I want to study God's word. And we started studying at 2 p.m., 3 p.m., 4 p.m., 5 p.m., 6 p.m. And he said, Son, I am not leaving your house. I want to be baptized into Christ. And he got baptized into Christ. And there my dad is. He comes to church. My mom followed 6 months later. And, you know, it's just so incredible being able to worship with him. And this year is a very special year for all of us because I turn 50 in about a week's time. My dad turns 80 this year. I've been a Christian for 25 years this year. And at the end of the year, I would have been married for 25 years. And so we got these sort of great celebrations. But God is good. And when we focus on the root, the fruit does come. And God does these things. And here Paul is dealing with heart issues, with the inner man, the inner person. And so often we deal with symptoms, as we heard this morning in the Lord's Supper. We focus on the symptoms. But we don't focus on the core issue. Oh, someone's not serving. Or someone's not giving the way that they need to give. Or this person, you know, man, their marriage is not great. Look at the symptoms. Or they don't have a heart for the poor. Just look at these things. Or man, they're full of pride. Or look at the way they're raising their children, disobedience. And these are all symptoms. And it's so easy to focus on symptoms and deal with symptoms because it's less effort. And we don't go to the root because the root's underground. It's in a dark place. And you have to dig away to get to the root to sort out the symptoms. I've got high cholesterol through family. And I have to take this pill each day. And I have to be careful what I eat. And it's not good just, well, man, this pill's just going to sort me out. And I don't look at what I eat. I don't take the skin off chicken, which is nice to eat, but that's something that I mustn't eat. I mustn't eat the fat of any meat. I need to exercise regularly to look after myself. And you see, if we're focusing just on the symptom and we take the pill and we think we're right, but we're not dealing with these other things around, we aren't going to deal with the root. If someone owns a lot of money and is in debt, it's very easy to say, well, let's bail you out of debt. But why don't we get to the root cause here so that we can help you for the rest of your life and get you out of this so that you don't go back in it. And not just dealing with the symptoms. And Paul prays for the person's inner being. And this is something that I've only just picked up. He prays for the person's inner being. Something deep here. Something in the core. This is the root. And the problem at times is we don't understand how good God is. Our God is so good. So kind. So giving. So patient, so caring. He looks down upon us and he loves us immensely. We kind of get how deep and wide and high God's love is. But here Paul is praying for the core of our being, that we will understand God's love from the core of our being. And Paul is so committed to prayer, and he wants the church in Ephesus to understand the depth of God's love for them. And he even goes on his knees. And in their culture, they bowed before kings, before any monarch. And he bowed before his creator and he said, God, grant us strength in this area so that I can really pray by name for everyone, for the core being the inner self. I cannot make you get how much God loves you. I cannot make you get how much God loves you. And Paul is here speaking about, it's the working of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that does this incredible miracle. I can introduce you to God. I can open up the Word of God with you. I can help you with what God's word says. I can talk about God's love. You know, I can tell you how amazing and good God is. But it's through the working of the Holy Spirit that God opens up the eyes of our hearts that we start to understand how much God loves us. Many years ago when Steve and Carol met, I'm sure someone introduced them. And like, whoa, this could be a great couple here. and we introduce folk and we even pray for them. But we can't make them have that zing. We can't make them have that love, can we? We can say, well, this would be nice, but they need to have that love for each other. And that's the working of something within, and you can't force it. It's either going to be there or it ain't going to be there. Are you with me? And that's how amazing God's Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit gives us this strength deep down in our hearts to help us understand the love of Christ. And God's Word even speaks about here that it surpasses knowledge. You can read about God's love, and it's a good thing to do. You can study out God's love. You can be told about God's love. But if we're really praying, God, through the Holy Spirit power, do something in my inner core, in my inner being, that I cannot do for myself, that you will help me to understand how wide and deep and how amazing God's love is. And then suddenly, whoops, that connection takes place. And whoa, God does something that we cannot understand or grasp. And that's why the psalmist says, as a deer panteth for streams of water, so my soul, oh my God, longs for you. There's that grasping of, I cannot wait to be with you. I need you so badly. And that's grasping that love. When we grasp how much God loves us, our struggles with other things become less. That anger evaporates. That bitterness goes. That pride, disunity, it goes. And you're sitting down with someone to help encourage each other and you say, hey buddy, how's it going with God's love? And you're connecting on that level, and then how's it going with that thing that you're struggling with? You can overcome whatever you're struggling with when you understand how much God loves you. Amen. And our lives have to be this overflowing of goodness, this flooding of amazing goodness. And when we get the love of Christ, that emptiness evaporates. And it's not about trying to look at the symptoms, but that inner core, God does that miracle. Being strengthened in the inner man, in the inner person, not the outer person. And isn't this world so much about the outer person? How we look, how smart we are, what education we've got, what a great family you've got. It's all sort of judged on the outer person. Paul gets on his knees and he's praying about the inner being. And that is so important, the inner cup. Cleaning out that inner being. Are you sure right now that Jesus Christ is crazy about you? Are you 100% sure that He loves you madly as an individual? With who you are? Or is there a part of you that's insecure? I can at times be insecure about God's love for me. I can at times be sort of in and out of their love and a bit insecure. When I look at things from the outside and I'm not looking at things from the inner man. And that's what creates insecurity. But God is crazy about each one of us. He loves us deeply. He sent His Son. He's crazy about us. Imagine every morning as you're waking up and you visualize that Jesus is sitting at the end of your bed. And He's saying, good morning. And you're like, what was that? And He's saying, good morning, I'm walking with you today. This is awesome. What you do, I do. We walk through life. We're doing a life together because I am crazy about you. Wouldn't that change your day? Wouldn't that change, like, whoa, this is incredible. I was chatting to my wife, Lisa, and we're praying. I said, you know what? There's just so many pressures in this world. So much that demands from our lives. I can get so sucked into that, that I'm not focused, and I'm guilty with this, how much God loves me. I said, why don't we, and this was just a week ago, why don't we every day, when we meet up and we chat, why don't we talk about some of the amazing things that God's done today and how crazy He is about you and how crazy He is about me. And we can almost sort of feel like, whoa, that's a bit prideful. No, it's not. You know, God is crazy about us. He loves us so much. And since we've been doing that, my whole mindset's changed. It really has changed. These small things that God is doing. Because at times we can go through a day like, well, what did God do? God didn't do anything. It was just one of those days. Where was God? And we have to train our mind, well, look at what God is doing. And we're looking through the lens that Christ wants us to look through. We're celebrating Jesus every single day. Are you with me, church? And I was getting dull in that. And I needed to repent and change. And since I changed, my focus has personally changed. We're all part of a family here, aren't we? A physical family also. And we and our families can determine their love, and we can be loving and forgiving, and we can be encouraging with each other. And when you're part of God's incredible family, we've got that forgiveness. We've got that deep love. We are pure and blameless. We're righteous before Him. And these are the special things that He says. This is who you are in Christ. In John 15, verse 9, how much do you think God loves Jesus? And it speaks about the vine and the branches, and it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in me. As God loves Jesus, so Jesus loves us. He doesn't love us a third or half of what God loves Him. He loves us the full, 100%. And we're all on this incredible journey. The person that I am now is different to the person that I was 5 years ago. And we're not perfect, but we're on this amazing journey. And if we can just understand this and hold to this. If you take our hearts are complicated. And that's what Paul is speaking about, the inner heart, the inner being, right down. If you take a towel and you fold it into a few blocks on top and refold it again, and you dip that into water, and then you open up that towel, it's going to be creased and there are going to be parts of that towel that are still dry. And we need to allow God's word and God's love to penetrate. And it's a process. And so wherever you are on that journey, be happy with what God's put you on that journey and allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate so that it does eventually all become wet. My aircon, now we live at the coast, it gets humid. As it does here, I believe, is that right? Durban is humid in January and February. I want you guys to come and visit, but don't come in Jan and Feb. It is really warm. And my aircon broke. And so I got the guy in to fix the aircon. And I thought, oh, well, the less you use your aircon, the longer the aircon will last. And the aircon guy said, no, 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 that's why it's sort of breaky. The more you use the aircon, the longer it will last. And I'm like, wow, okay, thanks for teaching me that. I didn't really know that. And if you really want to understand God's amazing love for us and the working of His power and His Holy Spirit, we need to be in prayer regularly. We need to use prayer. We need to use the Word of God. We need to use the fellowship. And you will understand that, the workings of His power. We all own a cell phone, don't we? I'm not going to give this one away. This is my only cell phone. But too many Christians are like unplugged cell phones. They're at these important crossroads in their lives, but they haven't plugged in. And if you ain't plugged in, there's no power. And too many Christians are unplugged from the power source. And when you're not plugged into the power source through prayer, and this type of prayer, you're not experiencing what God wants you to experience, and we won't understand the fullness, the flooding, the overflowing, the fountain of being in Christ. Steve did mention that I enjoy mountain biking. I started mountain biking for the poor, and I'll show you a bit later. But I go through these periods where I'm really super fit, and then I am not too fit. But when I'm not fit and someone invites me on a really long four-hour ride, I'm like, yes, I'll come and ride with you. Not realizing I'm not conditioned for that ride. And a couple of months ago, this friend said, man, let's go for this really long ride. I said, sure, let's do it. Let's get out into nature. I love it. Went on that ride, and it was like, whoa, the pains, and whoa, this, and a bit of cramping here, and this isn't working. I really must be getting old. But you see, when you're not conditioned to it, I love the sport, but I didn't love that ride. And it's exactly the same with Christ. When we plugged in and when we conditioned and when we live it, well, we understand what the fullness of God is and you are overflowing to that fullness. But there's a progression, as we mentioned. It starts at the top and then you will start to overflow with it. And slowly God is been softening my heart for the poor and helping me to look through new lenses. And we've opened up a bank account in our church, and we've got some really poor areas where folk don't have much, anything really. And here's a picture of this sort of shack at the top here. It's a bit of canvas, like a bit of a tree here, and that's where seven or eight young children lived without an adult. And Hope has helped us to find families that are infected and affected by HIV. The area that I live in, KZN, is one of the highest affected areas in the world with HIV. We're 31%. Incredibly high. And through my writing, I started to raise money through companies out there. And we as a church knocked that down in the morning. And we realized, well, we don't have a month to build this thing. We got one day because these children need to sleep at night. And so we knocked it down, and this is what we put up. This house over here. And it was waterproof. It's got a window. It's even got a door that you can lock. And they were so pleased with that. And I'm trying to educate our church is that the world is so wealthy. And the world wants to give to the poor, and we need to tap into that. And why don't we as a church keep building homes? It's good for us to all get out there on a Saturday morning and build a home and help someone else. So we've now built 2 homes in the last 6 months. And God is softening our hearts in the inner person as Paul is praying here. And we're starting to understand God's amazing love for us. Because when we understand God's amazing love for us, our lives will overflow into someone else's life and impact their lives. And I do want to commend each one of you. I want to just uplift you and thank you for the way that you've helped Africa and the way that you give to Africa. I uplift you and I commend you for that. And I want to encourage you, if you get a chance, I'm not that far away, get on a plane, come and visit us. I'll take you into Zambia and to Zimbabwe. I need folk to help, to come in and preach, to give their lives, to overflow. And this is what it's all about. It is an exciting life when we're living it with the fullness of Christ. And think about this. As this scripture, I want to encourage you that you go home, and this can be your quiet time for a week. Just read it and meditate and highlight and get more out of it than what I've got out of it. Just go through it. And think about this, because this is how practical it can be. Is maybe you sitting here this morning and you've been studying God's word, but you're not baptized into Christ yet, and maybe you don't see and experience God's love for you, but this can change you. I really believe it, and if we're praying for each other, I've started praying for the church name by name. God, please help Imlu, help Brenda, help Kath, help Jason. God, do something in the inner being. May your Holy Spirit power transform them within so that they can be strengthened and rooted and understand how deep and wide and powerful your love is, so that they can overflow to the fullness of Christ. And maybe your marriage is not where it needs to be because you don't understand in your inner being God's love for you, and you haven't experienced that in a while. Or maybe you're battling with specific sin because you lack the depth of God's love for you, and there are places in your heart that are empty. Or maybe you're fighting against church unity and something's going on in your heart because you don't understand this from within and you react out of insecurity. Or maybe you are insecure on campus or at school because you're living a life to please someone else and you're not rooted in the love of Christ. Or perhaps there's a colleague at work that is down and empty, and you can change their lives if you start teaching them about how much God loves you. The greatest thing that you and I can do for someone is show them how much God loves them. And then pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will work in their inner being, that they'll be strengthened and rooted in God so that they can be full to the measure of the fullness of God. Amen.
God's amazing love. Church, let's give Duncan a round of applause.
Thank you.
And of course, we cannot have our guest speaker come from so far away without giving him something to remember us by. Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now let's have a look what's in here. Whoa, okay, okay. What have we got? Whoa, yes. Come on. Nice. Nice. I will wear this with pride.
Amen.
There we go. Thank you, thank you.
So we're going to have Stephen Rocha come up now and do a closing prayer.
Let us pray. Father, I thank you for Duncan's message today. He's given us a photograph of how deep your love is, how your love fills us and helps our roots and helps us produce fruit and just gives us so much. But it's only a photograph. We only have this picture. We don't have the full experience. We don't have the teaching that the Holy Spirit enables us to have, the understanding of your love. And I pray that you will do what your scripture says, that you will give a power to our inner beings to be able to understand that love, to be able to grasp it and help it give life to our roots so that we can bear fruit, so that we can help give life to others as well. And Father, I just pray that you will, you are good all the time, Father. All the time you are good, and we know that, and I just pray that we will see that we will see people just having their inner being be able to understand your love and just see the works that will come from that. And Father, I thank you for being able to come together and see all the differences in people, just being able to worship in different languages, and for those differences not dividing us, for those differences bringing us together, just seeing how interesting people are. And I just pray that the love that you give to us, that we'll be able to love people who are extremely different than us. And Father, I just pray all of this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll have a closing song and then further instructions.